Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Oceanport, beautiful Monmouth Park, a very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Saratoga opening day on Thursday. Haskell Eve today. And on cue, the weather gets a little dicey. A little bit of rain today, but it's supposed to clear up later overnight and have a beautiful Haskell day, and a terrific Haskell day is on tap. We're going to give it to you high, wide, and handsome. Six stakes, starting with the matchmaker. 4:06, the whole second half of the card. Actually, six of the 14 races, and just so happens that the voice of Monmouth Park is sitting close by, Frank Miramati.
Good morning, Steve. Welcome to one of your favorite places. And my only regret in saying hello to you is that I am not acknowledging your victory in the Bill Handelman Award ceremony. That is an annual tradition over here. And I want to congratulate you on this very prestigious award. I always enjoy at the Monmouth Park post-position draw for the TVG.com Haskell to acknowledge the winners, because it gives me a chance to look at the long list of storied individuals who have given such a great contribution to the sport. And your name just made me smile east to west, knowing your love of Monmouth Park and obviously your outstanding work in the media world. So congratulations to you. Sorry this can't be in front of a formal press conference, but you know what? It's in front of your listeners, which is almost as good, if not better. So congratulations on that great award and the recognition from Monmouth Park.
It's very kind, Frank. And I when John Himes, when I talked to John just about coming down and doing, you know, doing the preview today, and he said, well, actually, I got two things to talk to you about, that and you're the Bill Handel. And I was really kind of taken aback, and I only knew Bill just by sight and to say hello. And what's really noteworthy is the reaction from the people who knew him really well. And it's funny, because within hours, it just so happened we were going to stay at Al Gold's place. Al and Hillary have got a new little condo. They sold their house that the kids grew up in, and that was in Monmouth, in Oceanport. And they got like a little condo, so they can still come down. They got the beautiful house in Saratoga and winter in Florida. But Al was very close to Bill Handelman. Tom Lucci, of course, who I'm sure we'll talk to later. And Dave Grenig yesterday. And Dave when he was at the Trentonian. And there's so many people that really knew him and worked around him and bet with him, because that was a big part of his outsized personality. And, I mean, taken at a tragically young age. I mean, by all rights, he should still be enjoying without a doubt, he should still be enjoying the game. And it means a lot coming from Monmouth and knowing the kind of turf rider he was. I really was touched by the gesture. And you talk about the people, Dave Johnson, I think the only other broadcaster on the list, but and track announcer. But it's really, I'm very much touched by the whole concept. Thank you.
If your listeners don't know how prestigious it is, I hope you could have felt Steve's emotion right there. So big acknowledgement from Monmouth Park, and we thank you every year. You're so excited to come out here. And Dennis Drazen somehow, some way, continuing to just defy all odds and putting on another great show. I read a tweet, and I forgot who put it out there, who said something to the effect of, remember last year with the heat and the situation? I miss the good old days. That was such a great tweet, because that was such a crazy day.
That was nuts.
But please, compared to what's happening now, it's unreal. So we're just so excited to have everyone tuned in. And I know that Matt Carruthers arrives for TVG. He and Tom Cassidy are going to have some fun. And all the races are going to be, of course, on TVG as well. And it's just a very exciting time for Monmouth Park. And we appreciate everyone who's supporting the program.
Well, the timing, you know, in terms of getting the racing going, it worked out well for you. And, you know, being able to spend the summer here. And actually, he even got in a couple of days at up at Belmont, gave Johnny I a spell. So, and then you're, you know, right away, it took you about 10 minutes to land at Newark, and you were banging out the pizza stops.
Well, my man Rich Feldman, who's our Equibase man, we're good buddies. He picked me up at the airport and he said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Federici's." In fact, I'll take the wheel. I know how to get there from here. And we went right to Federici's in Freehold immediately. Mr. Michael Federici, big in the horse racing game, particularly in the harness game, but a big fan of Monmouth Park and Freehold and such. He came out and greeted us, and it was just nice to go there because there's nowhere else I wanted to go, and it answered the bell. Federici's in Freehold. If you come to the track, if I didn't say that, you got to stop by Rockefeller's on Prospect Avenue to try a couple of slices.
By the train track.
Right. It's great. And in fact, the person, as I'm getting now, I'm getting a photo shoot early in the morning here from Steve, which I have a face for radio, so it's been working out great so far. We said Rockefeller's is right down the street here, and those are some people that are good, and they love racing, and their regular slices, whereas as well as their Sicilian, very good. The person who introduced me to Rockefeller's was a man who I'm glad I get a quick moment because I never thought of this. Let me say rest in peace to Elevator Ed, who was in the elevator here
for
decades.
Haskin brought him up yesterday.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad he brought him up. Good for Steve Haskin.
When did he go?
He went a couple of months back. His family was very nice. One day I'm in the elevator coming here, and if you had to know Elevator Ed to understand it. And I eat pizza every day of my life. 360 days is the over-under every year. If you take the over, you're in good shape. And he says to me, and I'll do my God rest his soul, I'll do a quick, he says, "Have you tried Rockefeller's? It's a great place." And I'm thinking to myself, because I'm a highly judgmental individual, and I try to work on that every day, I'm like, please, this guy's going to give me a pizza place. So one day, I have no sense of direction. Those who have driven with me are very well aware of this. I'm driving around looking for Nunzio's, and I always forget where the left turn is
right
and the
across.
Right turn is, and I drive right down Prospect, and I see Rockefeller.
Yep.
And I say to myself, wait, this is that place Elevator Ed mentioned. I walk in, and I look around. I see the Sicilian. I give it a try, and I've been recommending a lot of people there. So we have a few really good pizza options around here, around Monmouth Park. But rest in peace, Elevator Ed. He was such a sweetheart of a man. Greeted everybody. His wife is still handling her elevator on the other side of the building.
Oh, my gosh.
And very special people to Monmouth Park. And
What's her name?
Her name is Pat. And Ms. Pat is is still here and just a wonderful human being. And she sent me the little, write-up on Ed's memorial, and it was very kind. But he was just a great guy. He'd give out dum-dum lollipops to the stewards and always at his feet. He was just such a nice guy. He would always tell me, like, oh, the winter. You know what I mean? He would, like, I ask him how the winter was, the same story every year. But love Ed, and he ended up opening the door to Rockefeller's, which has created a whole new group of friends through Rico the Pizza Legend and all of his people. And it's part of what makes Monmouth Park very special are the things that go on around here, and I'm so glad to be here. You know, in these times, we all need any kind of victory in any way, shape, or form to just enjoy ourselves. And the opportunity to come out here and call it Monmouth Park on the shore's greatest stretch is something I have an amazing amount of gratitude for. And this is my sixth season here, and I'm very proud to be here and very proud to wave the Monmouth flag and everything Monmouth represents. And believe me, 6 years, I'm a rookie in this place. Everyone's here. You know, when they say tenure, it says lifer.
Exactly.
That's basically what it's like around here. So very cool to be here, and we're going to put on a great show.
And that show highlighted, of course, by the Haskell, and you look at the group that came together. 546, by the way, for those that are want to pop that in your head. So 5:45 is, and it goes as race 12 of a 14 race card with those six stakes, as I mentioned, finishing up. And there is a pick six, but the pick five starts in race 10 with the Monmouth Cup. The Monmouth Cup came up really good, and I had not gotten to it until this morning. And it includes second off the layoff for Math Wizard and more. There's also an interesting Claudio Gonzalez, who has been sneaking up up on people in Snake's company pretty much, you know, since the... You know, since the pandemic ended, or not ended, but, you know, since we got racing back going. And every time I looked up, looking at this sequence, Claudio Gonzalez kind of caught my eye. He's also got Lebda, in, you know, that's running in the Haskell at a big price and feels like maybe an option for the bottom of your exotics because the three principles, Dr. Post, Authentic, and New York Traffic, Frank, obviously that's where, you know, the discussion really centers.
And it ends right there, probably. But you have to run the race, so you never know what can happen, but those are that is definitely the storyline.
Have you gotten the answer on Jesus's team or Jesus's team?
I mean, I'm going to guess Jesus's team, but I have no idea, and I will definitely listen. I have no idea though. Whoever's team it is, I will definitely be listening to some old replays and take care of that. So I really don't know. So that's a 50-50 guess. And it's one of those deals where you, instead of door number 1, 2, and 3, you got door 1 and 2. And I have not listened yet, but we've got his career throughout South Florida. So I'll be checking in with Mr. Aiello's replays, and I always go to the most recent replay because if you haven't gotten it right by now, you got problems. You could be wrong early in one's career and then get corrected.
Yes,
that's happened to me on more than one occasion.
Usually with the invariably it seems with the Yiddish expressions, and that's the one that I very frequently will send texts out to race callers and say, you know.
You'll be happy to know I pronounced Chala correctly.
Well done.
When he was running out of Santa Anita,
I love it. There's been a rash of them. In fact, there was Meshuggah the other day in South Florida at a huge price.
And the Meshuggah,
Meshuggah was Art Sherman,
yeah, right.
and his deli pal, who owns the deli down in San Diego.
I'm not sure, but I know they have good sprinkle cookies. You're talking about the one Milton's right by the
track? Not Milton's. Milton's, oh, okay. Milton's are my friends.
Milton's sprinkle cookies and fresh squeezed orange juice with sourdough is all you need. I was with Paul Whiteman one morning, and he still reminds me that having a sprinkle cookie and orange juice was among the funniest things he's ever seen early in the morning. So I still hear about that 10 years later. I don't know the deli you're talking about.
Somebody will send.
Of course. And
Jay Pridman will officially.
Yeah, Jay is shaking his head if he's tuned in right now. Not
yes.
Happy with
well, Jay will. Jay will send me. Well, Jay's on at the top of the hour. So
right. I'm saying just knowing that not having that answer.
I can't remember, but you mentioned Milton's. That's my friends from Chicago Brothers, Barry Halpern and Craig Schechtman and partners, and I reconnected with them when I got out for Breeders' Cup.
When you look at the weather outside, I might have to start singing "Name Drops Keep Falling on My Head."
But I'm bummed.
We had a couple. this morning, but it's clearing up. A little moisture doesn't hurt anybody.
Listen, the weather can't be any worse than it was that morning when you joined me at Santa Anita. That was the craziest thing we've ever seen with the
right.
wind howling. And
I hope people could understand how ridiculous that was. We were in danger. I was dodging items walking into Santa Anita. This is a fact. This big thing is coming right at me. I'm having to happen to bob and weave, and I'm a big boy, so I wasn't exactly looking like Muhammad Ali moving around the ring.
Jay Hovde, actually, since we're going to Calabasas. Calabasas? Is that where they...
No. Calabasas would be north. South. Carlsbad.
Carlsbad. Aikens.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Of course. Believe me, there are other people that were just not pleased with that whole fumble on both of our parts.
You know, not only is Jay Hovde just a brilliant writer, but it takes a real clever wit to be able to text with comic timing.
That's his, I mean, he's born with that gift.
Well, Aikens comes first, gives me time to deliver the Aikens as the correct answer.
Yes.
And then with the punchline, and I'm a Lutheran.
There you go. There you go. God bless America.
Some other thoughts about this card while we got you. We're bringing back the Beat Pick contest and a lot more of the specifics. I'll get some of them out this morning as we unfold. I ended up picking the UN as Saturday's first race. And don't forget the opportunity here over the course of the next, I don't know what we're doing, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks? I think now through mid-September.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yes. End of September.
I'll pick a horse. Both days, Saturday and Sunday, and you can pick an alternate horse, or you can bet with me, and if you beat me, you're qualified for the championship in September. And we're going to send one person to the NHC like we did last year. And it's a lot of fun. And there's also going to be some seasonal prizes, which will include horseplayers.com contest credits. And we'll have a lot of fun. Last year, it was really, we had great discussion, and it really was fun. And I hope you'll participate. NTRA.com/beatbick, and the thing will open up in terms of, you know, as soon as Michelle Ravencraft and Holly Short, when they get out the selection, and they plug the whole system to go. But I ended up using the UN for the Saturday race, and I'm going back to Perrette, who I cashed with up at Belmont at a big number, Frank. And this one had that Chucky Lawrence, Matt Shearer magic. And
oh, I was reading about this. Weren't some of your friends hitting big and giving you all kinds of love
home
for
run.
That day?
Was that the huge day? Home run, yeah. That horse stuck out like a sore thumb. And this is something that they've done before, the two of them. There's a little, potentially, some horses to go with Perrette here. But we're not going to get 38-1 like we did in the Tiller. But I think that he absolutely can win this right back, and I'm using him in the contest.
How could you not go back? You can never let him beat you again after all the love that he delivered for you once. So I understand your loyalty. From a handicapping standpoint, we know that your listeners have no interest in my selections for good reason. The record speaks volumes. But I'll tell you two horses that when I flipped through, here's what I did. I went to DRF.com. And America's Turf Authority, the
since
greatest 1894. Performances of all time. My best memories are picking it up on Robertson at Pico in front of Miller's Outpost for $1.75 many times during my high school days. I had two horses that immediately came to mind when I flipped through the past performances. One was in the seventh race that looked like a horse that looked like an absolute winner, and that was number 10, Total Tap, for Jose Delgado, who's a high-percentage trainer. His horses have been firing big time year in and year out. And this is the kind of horse spotted for 12-5. Just absolutely looks like one of those favorites that if he fires, he wins. So seventh race, number 10. And in the 14th race, if you want to summarize my whole handicapping philosophies with one showdown of two favorites squaring off and where I land, it's the Molly Pitcher. She's a Julie versus Royal Flag. I'm all about what I like to refer to as lightly raced luxury. I love pedigrees. I love lightly raced, and I love watching them step up to the plate. Royal Flag 3-1. So I have Paco Lopez in the 7th and the 14th. I think those will be among his two victories. I'll leave the tough races to your better handicappers so that you guys can get some winners out of it. But best of luck to everyone participating, and can't thank you enough for promoting Monmouth Park the way you do, Steve.
Frank, I always look forward to coming here, and now with the last several years with you in attendance, and just a complete pleasure, and tomorrow should be tremendous fun. The weather, I think, will shape up, and how are these Friday night cards for you?
We're one for two. Last one canceled, but the first one was very nice. It was opening day, and the crowd was, as Marv Albert would say, hearing it from the crowd. We could actually hear it from the crowd, and as we know, there aren't a lot of people allowed in here, but just the enthusiasm to hear live fans enjoying the racing, and we exceeded our expectations by millions that particular evening.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that the team was happy, and we appreciate the business everyone's giving us, and obviously the coverage on TVG has been, as it has been for every year at Monmouth Park, extraordinary and thorough, so very nice.
Well, it was an interesting concept, and being creative and approaching things. I think it was Andy Serling, back during, the shutdown, and Andy said, this is a unique opportunity to experiment. And after we wrap up, I'm going to go into the results from yesterday, and Canterbury and Indiana, for instance, with their scheduling, the Monday through Thursdays, has been a complete success. And particularly for Indiana, moving and putting everything, staying away from the weekend. And a lot of this is the learning, or at least the experience that was seen from Will Rogers and from Foner.
Absolutely.
And again, yesterday, Indiana, $3 million, yesterday.
That's a good circuit, and the racing there year in and year out brings the people that have been running at Churchill, so it should be good. And they deserve this, because those are good horses that run at Indiana Grand, and they deserve the financial participation from bettors who have an opinion, because it's perfect. It's a new oval, but it's the same circuit, and then some new shooters coming in as well. So I think that is a great product, and in the end, it always comes down to field size and competitiveness, and you're seeing that over there, and good for them. They deserve it, because they've been in that shadow, rightfully so, which they'll always be in, of Louisville, Kentucky, but certainly putting on good racing.
Well, and yesterday they had a carryover. There was the Pick 5 carryover from Wednesday, and 300,000, I mean, I think I estimated the 200 and change, ended up being 319,000, and the Pick 5, this is unbelievable, 2 second choices, 2 favorites, and 1 fourth choice that wasn't a big price. Basically, the field, there were basically four or five horses that were all 4-1. And so you had a $7 winner, 11-20, 5-20, 4-60, and 6-20.
What did that pay?
$1,000.
Very nice.
$1,000 Pick 5 payout. I mean, crazy number with the 11.9%, and a big day yesterday for Indiana. And at Canterbury, they did $2 million with a $90,000 rake into their 10% Pick 5, which is just out overpaying every single day. And yesterday for them, they had a favorite, 2 third choices, a fifth choice. So it's been tricky at Canterbury, I'll tell you, between the Minnesota breds and getting to understand what those are about. 1580.
What those are about, just like every state bred is what they're about.
Well,
tough
the
races, those state breds.
At least, you know, there's certain ones that you might have a little more
Good luck in MN next to your name, right?
Exactly. 1580, $12, 840, 1240, and then a 2-5 shot. So essentially it was a Pick 4.
Right. Was it a Diodoro 2-5 shot on top of it all? Probably.
It was actually Larry Donlin, I think.
Right.
Was it Larry Donlin?
By the way, as we mentioned Canterbury, we would have to be smacked if we didn't say rest in peace to Curtis Sampson. I just read about that. He passed away. And, you know, I happened to see a tweet this morning that someone had liked, that Paul Allen gave a little tribute to in the paddock yesterday. So for the Canterbury faithful, rest in peace to a man who brought Canterbury back.
Yes.
In 1995. So, anyway,
that family, I missed this.
Just happened, so you didn't. I mean, you weren't like way behind on the news.
Well, thoughts to Randy and to the family.
Yes, they had me in as a guest announcer in 1999. Flew me in, and I got to call races as everybody. And I still have those tapes, VHS. I can't get a VHS player, but I still have that. And they were very nice people and very hospitable. And then I got to see them again when I worked at Oaklawn, because that's part of the whole circuit.
Sure,
a lot of the Oaklawn people go over there, so it was nice to see Randy then. So. Rest in peace to the family. A guy that certainly loved racing and put his money where his mouth was and put on some great shows that continue today.
Absolutely. And they paid yesterday $3,518 for that sequence at Canterbury with the 10%. So the midweek action is absolutely at Canterbury and Indiana Grand. It's crazy.
Comes down to picking winners in the end, right, Steve? You got to get the winners.
Did you watch some Saratoga yesterday?
I did. I watched all of Saratoga yesterday and enjoyed it quite a bit.
Well, and the Saratoga action that didn't take long for a DQ to enrage everybody in that second race. The first time starter for Seth Klarman and Jorge Abreu, and this was one of those that it just seemed so unnecessary. To take down clearly the best horse that really didn't.
I'll leave Stewart's decisions to you and your audience.
I never get
reason.
Crazy for it. I just it is it, but it at this, you know, there's certain ones that you just say, you know, you're penalizing the people who picked the right horse and we're getting a price no less 5-1, and it just doesn't make sense. If you want to find the jock or sit him down for 3 days. Do that, but this is just silly. It penalizes the players. Things started out. Linda Rice kicked off the meet, and Then came, you know, instant controversy. Wesley Ward got on the board early. Tyler Gaffleone got his first win in the fourth on a first-time starter for Michael Trombetta and the Wyckoffs, three diamonds. Congratulations to them. Escape Fund, 34-1, the first board lighter at the meet.
And then, I've been on the Tyler Gaffleone bandwagon from day one, have taken some heat, but my tweets are documented on his talent and what a fine young man he is. And watching him at Gulfstream, always in the perfect spot, granted, on a lot of favorites, but doing what he's supposed to do with them. And now he has upgraded and done it nationwide. Good for him. And I root for him at all times. I love his attitude. I just, more importantly, love the way he rides.
Well, it absolutely got that price. And then, actually, the fifth race, too, midpoint in the card, big engine, Linda Rice with her second win of the...
That horse looked like King Kong on the track warming up. I had the volume down watching that, and I kept looking at that horse, and that horse just really stood out, tippy-toeing around and feeling good. And ran accordingly off the bench.
Well, and this happens to be this was a New York, my favorite, I've said this a million times, the New York bred allowance conditions are invariably the place, and we'll talk about the race that we participated in with Tyler in a second, but they are invariably hyper-competitive, well-matched, and the place to take shots. And this horse, and then the winner actually of the race that we were in, Pecatonica, for Tommy Bush, those were two double-digit odds, 13 and 11 to 1, and they were the key, you know, to having a big day. Big Engine ends up finishing the pick five that paid $34,268 with almost $1 million pool, and the pick four paid just under $5,000. So right away, day one, first half of the card gets things flying. You had a maiden claimer, Bill Mott, for Paul Braverman, and... the Harvey Clark estate, plus Tim Pinch and Imaginary Propensity, who ended up favored. And this was a funny race. This looked like a race where you might want to play with a price.
It's the all race where the favorite jogs home. No doubt about it. Win.
Exactly. And the horse that I was interested in, Sir Chubby, actually ran well. Came kind of clunking home for third, but Knockout Punch at 21-1 second was a nice price. Bob Dunham and Bob Dunham, been around and is a name that bettors aren't necessarily going to gravitate to, but Knockout Punch was absolutely one of the candidates to play with. Gets us to our race. Our race was over in the first turn because Cardenas on Noble Jewel was like a drunken sailor in the first turn and almost clipped heels. Minute Mouse, was pulled up and Tyler, was... Tyler actually described it well to me. He said, I was in her mouth the whole first half of the race. And then she put in a little bit of run. Then he wrapped up on her, and it was fine. A disappointing way to start the meet. But, she'll come back in a couple of weeks. But it was great to, at least go into it with Tyler. And Pecatonica, as I mentioned. Tommy Bush for Berkshire. They're one of their homebreds, a Temple City filly, at 11-1. So the two state-bred allowances...
Prices.
Big time.
In the words of the great Phil Salzman, up in time.
And really nailed Danny Gargan on the money, and Gargan was heartsick.
So are his backers at 3-2, believe me.
Exactly.
So, they got scooped up in the shadow of the wire.
Then you had the $20 to 1 winner, and congratulations to Tim Ham, standard bearer in Ohio for all the lean years, Blazing Meadows, and Tim is. This is a horse that he owns with Sienna Farms they're partnered, an Into Mischief filly, day out of the office, and she romped. Now, beautiful memories, got to mention, of course, the 1-2 favorite, and Mark Cassie had been on with us at the beginning of the week. She stumbled as badly as you're going to stumble. And then Jose Ortiz said that he didn't like the way she was traveling, and so he just essentially wrapped up and just, better safe than sorry. So
take nothing away from the winner.
No.
And this race, same with the male counterpart race like this, Sanford coming up, year in and year out, you see horses that won first time out at a different place, not the, you know, and Gulfstream isn't exactly anything other than great. So, but just coming in off the circuit, you know, they come from Laurel, they come from Gulfstream, they come from all over. It's not necessarily always the ones that just sizzled home at Churchill Downs. Now, granted, we won't know because of what happened in that race, so the whole complexion changed. But very nice performance and a big price if you decided to just. That's the thing. You get second time starters. You don't know what's going to happen in start two. Who's going to move up? Who's going to move backward? And the horse certainly had the pedigree to be any kind, and she certainly proved it.
Well, and for Tim Hamm, this was a tough race because in addition to just being mysterious, and you know, Tim was only his 11th starter at Saratoga. He was 0 for 10. Dave Grenig with that stat, and it just so happened that the 4.5 furlong maiden winner that, you know, that he had, there's no figure, there was no premium figure, no Thoroughgraph number to work from. So the horse is kind of instantly, you know, disregarded because of connections.
Right.
And it's a mistake. And I'll tell you what, she got an 82 buyer for this, which for a 2-year-old filly is.
It's better than the line. Instead of a zero, she had a line right in her
BBs. Yes. 82 for this, and that gets us to the other feature of the day, and for Paul Pompa, who I've been friendly with for years, and Paul, Country Grammar and Chad Brown, this is a tonalist colt that it feels like, you know, one of those progressive 3-year-olds that we talked about that could emerge during the summer. 95 buyer in an absolute thrilling Peter Pan with that Caracaro, who had plenty of support, and Gustavo Delgado up from Gulfstream, speaking of Gulfstream Park. Caracaro looked like a winner, and then Country Grammar came calling with IRAD, and they put on a terrific show down the stretch. And just when it looked like Caracaro was going to rebuff, Country Grammar didn't re-break, but just kind of.
Those two made a little contact while they were at it too.
Yeah, so, but that was.
Well, these are 1,000-pound animals. It happens in almost every race, so there's contact throughout the day, and it was a very gutsy victory for Country Grammar. And the horse who was coming running on, Mystic Guide, is one that I really believe, if they lined up again today, these three, I would still say that Mystic Guide is not to be ignored. You know, he was running very willingly at the end, and is a horse to continue to follow. I believe the talent is there, and that Michael Stidham will enjoy some fun with this horse.
Well, and that's the Godolphin Homebred out of Music Note, and this is a horse that certainly, if he can garner some more points, maybe with a Travers Try, I mean, certainly Country Grammar is going to quickly
turn around
and look.
He's the kind of horse that could be all of a sudden like, oh no, who was that? Oh, that was the horse who was favored a couple times earlier. Don't let him pay $24.40 in front of you in the future, because he's got talent. Watch the way he's finishing, and you know the race was over, but he was coming, and he was coming with a purpose. So it's not like one of those things where you look at the replay and say he was ever catching those two, but you say there's talent there, and these young horses develop rapidly, and this horse is bred to be any kind.
Well, Music Note, of course, an AP Indy mare, and herself a multiple graded stake winner by Go Zapper. There's every reason for Mystic Guide, and this was only his fourth start and his graded stake debut, and he's never been off the board. He debuted at Fairgrounds going short and got beat by Crystal Sphere. Then he breaks his maiden in the second try at Fairgrounds, stretching out, went from 6th to 1 mile and 1/16 in that long stretch at Fairgrounds, and wins off by himself by a half a dozen. And
fourth place finisher comes back to win a nice maiden special weight, right. Reprobate. Summer
right.
Blame
That's
tries
right.
the turf in Southern California, went very wide and blew by some competition. The horse who finished second, in all fairness, didn't come back to do much, means nothing. He beat a horse who came back to win on grass and win nicely. So you can't hold against winners as to what happened right behind them all the time, because it's not up to them to see who's in the race. So Mr. Guy beats a horse soundly who comes back and graduates in his next start too, and now comes with this. I think you'll see some nice things from him in the future.
Well, and you know, you brought up when you talked about the Chad Brown contender in the Motley Pitcher tomorrow, Saturday, Royal Flag, the lightly raced class.
Everything I believe in. What else can you ask for?
Caracaro's in the same, right. It comes from that same, you know, same cloth, cut from the same cloth. Caracaro, Uncle Mo out of the Warfront Mare, bred by SF, and it was just a $95,000, November, that would have been a, that would have been a weanling. And, weanling or November, let me see, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, weanling. And I'll tell you what, that one, as well as he ran, that's actually a horse that at some point you got to put on the grass, no?
You, well, you certainly should give it. There's nothing wrong with giving that a try. Anytime you see some of that pedigree on the bottom, you're fine.
Well, and Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo gets plenty
Uncle
of...
Uncle Mo does it all.
Yeah, so there it is. How about Mike Rapolion with Lafitte and Andy yesterday?
Mike is such a nice guy. The first time I met him, Eric Donovan introduced me to him after the Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita. They were having a little party and a get-together, and Eric called me and asked me where I was, and I said, I'm just walking over here. He says, come over here, and I'm at Mike Rapolion's tent, and I went and met him. He couldn't have been more kind. Obviously, he was in a good mood. I don't care who comes up to him after you win the Classic. I think you're going to be in a fine mood, and he couldn't have been more hospitable, took time, asked questions, shared the moment of glory, and then invited my better half and I, Jennifer, to a get together, like a post party, and as I was leaving Santa Anita at the end of a very long day, I had to tell Jennifer, she said, wait, why are you making a left here? We live this way. I said, how do we not go to this party? This guy asked us five times to stop by. We have to have a glass of wine with the guy. He just won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And she was happy I made that executive decision because there were a few moments she was restless at the gate. Meanwhile, we went to this thing and I said, hey, afterward, I said, by the way, what was that again about going 3.6 miles out of our way, please? These are the moments you live for to be able to, I might be on Steve Bick one day and be able to say that Mike Rapolion let me have a glass of wine with him. But he was great. Vinny Viola came up. Todd Pletcher was there, and it was nice because Vinny was just talking about the great work that Todd has done. He was giving me, like, basically a lesson on, you know, Todd's history and his work for D-Wayne and all that good stuff. And I was happy for Todd Pletcher as well because he just represents nothing but class and excellence. So good to see him win with the big horse. And Mike, big name in New York. You know, you get a lot of 3-to-5s in those famous colors of Rapolion stable, but you're better using him because he wins a lot of races.
It was very funny when he, you know, because Lafitte mentioned his 2012 owner title, to which Rapolion very quickly said, actually three straight, 11, 12, 13, and they had a good laugh at it. Really nice to catch. I didn't hear everything, and I was back and forth from the track after the show, and then we headed down here. So, just a great first day, and it closed out with Shug winning. So you can't go wrong there either. Shug closes out with a late charge, Secure Connection, came marauding under Jose Ortiz in the late stages in that turf sprint.
I've heard John Dooley use marauding before, so there you go. You're in
good company.
Good vocabulary use.
Well, Frank, I've already kept you longer than expected.
Oh, I'm so honored.
Not at all.
I hate to hold back your guests and your audience.
No, you're not holding
good
anything
insights
back.
And
not holding anything
and,
back.
You know, we're just happy to have you and very excited. And let's have a great weekend and a memorable one. We certainly have the opportunity, and the stage is set.
No doubt. Frank Miramati, everybody, and you should be following Frank on Twitter, and as beloved as anybody around the game, and kind and generous to everybody, and can't thank you enough for spending the time, for bringing bagels for everybody this morning, and a coffee, and got the day off to a rousing start.
I got to get people to put on some weight so I don't look as as different as everyone
so
else.
So ridiculous. But put in a quick Spring Hill Cheese plug.
Oh, please. If you want some great cheese, you've seen their commercials with the happy cows, springhillcheese.com. Help a farmer out in California who puts out great product. And look, he's under siege. He's scrambling like Fran Tarkenton after this pandemic. So help the guy out. And and you will be rewarded with cheese that has been receiving rave reviews. Steve Bick, who has some very tough taste buds, has given me the thumbs up on springhillcheese.com. So help a guy out and order some cheese home. It'll come right to your door in a couple of days. They ship Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And out of this world. I thought the Italian products were particularly strong. The Asiago and the Parm are really good. I mean, they got a sharpness to them.
Operators are standing by. springhillcheese.com.
The one and only, the Miramad, Frank Miramati. And listen for him this afternoon, 5 o'clock, for the sixth race Twilight Card. And the skies will be brightening, on an increasingly steady basis. We're going to stay right here, just two breaks today, as has been our practice of late. And standing by is James Scully. And we say good morning to James.
Good morning, Steve. Congratulations on your Bill Handelman Memorial Award. Much deserved. And it's going to be a big weekend up there in Monmouth Park with Haskell and five graded stakes on tap.
Well, and in fact, we'll thank you, first of all, and I appreciate it. And we're going to use your view of Monmouth to add to the to the analysis. First, though, give us your postscript to what we saw last weekend when we talked the Keeneland 5 days, and you've gotten off to a good start. And how'd the rest of the weekend treat you?
It went pretty good. You know, I just recapping the stakes action, I mean, some really dynamite performances. Obviously, looking at the three-year-old Art Collector, really looked like he was in for a battle just to run down Swiss Skydiver at the head of the stretch in the Bluegrass Stakes. He collared her at mid-stretch and drew off in the final 16th to win going away by three lengths. Just another step in his progression, really coming to hand at the right time for Tommy Drury, and considering his affinity for Churchill Downs. I mean, he's a serious Kentucky Derby contender. I did think Swiss Skydiver ran a huge race, first time going a mile and an eighth. She was more of a stalker, late running type early in her career. She's been showing excellent speed in her most recent engagements, and I think she's going to bring quality speed to future endeavors. And therefore, you know, barring a loss, if she runs again in the Alabama or another prep race, I just don't see, like, I see her event, her connections opting for the Kentucky Derby over the Oaks. I don't think there's a lot of depth to this year's Kentucky Derby field, and they can look at a filly like Winning Colors, who stole the 1988 Derby wire to wire, as an example of why they should potentially go for it. So, I came away impressed by that. I came away impressed by Speech, who really took a step forward off of the Santa Anita Oaks. She's going to be a major player, it looks like, in the Kentucky Oaks. And, of course, Garana, you know, what a heady, gutsy effort to come back and beat Me a Mischief like she did. The filly and mare sprint will be at Keeneland this fall, the Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint. And that filly's 2-for-2 over the track, obviously loves Keeneland. So, some great races, some good turf races as well. Rushing Fall, now 9-for-12, and just loves that Keeneland turf also. So it was a great weekend of racing. That's my recap of it.
Excellent. And, the Philly story will be interesting, and I don't necessarily disagree that they won't reevaluate, even though Ken McPeak said that they'll turn their attention to the Oaks. We'll see, and let's also see how the point element figures in. We'll talk to Jay Privman about the Derby watch list and get some thoughts from him on that front, and turn our attention, I think, to Monmouth. How do you want to start this, maybe with the Haskell?
Yeah, I'll start right with the Haskell. The Haskell is race number 12 on the 14-race program. It anchors the first all-stakes pick four, and it's the second leg of the last all-stakes pick four. And basically, you know, two top contenders, Authentic and Dr. Post. And I'm going with Dr. Post in there, Steve. I really like the way that colt has just progressed from race to race for Todd Pletcher. Broke his maiden in late March, came back and won that unbridled stakes, didn't have the cleanest trip that day, but got the job done in his first, going two turns there. And then really last time in the Belmont Stakes, I thought he made a really nice move on the far turn. He got about a length and a half behind Tis the Law approaching the top of the stretch, and Tis the Law went on with his run and drew off the win by open lengths. But I thought Dr. Post still finished well, earned his first triple digit for speed rating, from our speed ratings index, and I just think that's a huge effort that he's going to continue to move forward upon. The mile and eighth distance really hits him between the eyes. I look at a horse like the Authentic, a high-quality individual, but he has that same profile to me as a horse like Vekoma, who last year was able to win that mile and an eighth bluegrass wire-to-wire in the spring. But once you got past the Derby, he was sidelined afterwards. But obviously, I think, sprint middle distances hits that horse between the eyes. I think eventually that's going to be Authentic's calling. Races like the Malibu and others will be on his agenda in the future. And I just think Dr. Post, if he was catching a field that didn't have a horse of Dr. Post's quality in it, obviously he could lead wire to wire and beat inferior horses. But I do think Dr. Post is the goods, and I think he'll run him down and get the money in the Haskell.
James.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We got to take a break. Casey.
Casey. So, are you okay?
Yeah, we got to take a break here for a minute. I'm okay. There's Let's take a break. We'll come right back.
All right.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.